I wonder if you've ever heard the saying, a parent is only as happy as their least happy child. Well, I think this might be true for some of us individually, or maybe it's true of your own parent or parents, but maybe it's also true for you in a different way, like with your coworkers or your friend group. So I love the idea of cultivating a chosen family. In any of these groups to which we belong, we can only really be as happy as our least happy member. So I think Emily put a little note in her weekly update email, but has anyone seen the Inside Out movies? Okay, has anyone seen the one that just came out this summer, Inside Out 2? So less people, but you can probably guess what my kids took me to see this summer. So they're about a young girl named Riley, and inside her head are these different colorful emotion characters, and they include joy, fear, anger, disgust, sadness. So there's an internal control center where these different characters can like take over and influence Riley. These emotions are kind of like one big family inside Riley's head. And Joy, as the like most respectable member, is usually running the show. But when Riley faces a big change, she moves from the Midwest to San Francisco. Joy tries to get rid of sadness because sadness keeps popping up and like touching the hub. And Joy sees sadness as a threat to Riley's well-being. Now, in the sequel, in Inside Out 2, there's a whole new group of emotions that come up with the onset of a flashing red light labeled puberty. And one of these emotions is a popular favorite, one that many of us might know and love, a cute little orange character named Anxiety. So you might be able to imagine all the things that could happen when Anxiety is touching the hub. So their ultimate task is really to learn how to work together as many different parts, each being true to themselves, all for the good of the one who they love, in this case, Riley. So I think we are, yes, of course, made up of many different emotions. And in our families or our chosen families, we're also many different members. We're different from each other. And in the world, we're many different kinds of people. Our diversity and our differences are often celebrated as beautiful and valuable, like a variety of spices on a spice rack, I think. But individualism, or highlighting just like one type of member, is also one of America's highest values. So it sometimes, I think, seems like our diversity is only celebrated as long as everyone is self-sufficient. So it's like this inclusive, so-called inclusive phrase, you might have heard it, every man for himself, right? Like it feels like that sometimes. And if you're suffering or if you're struggling, maybe you feel like you're supposed to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, it might feel like you don't really belong. Now, humans long to belong. We are designed to connect with and support one another. I think many of us have grappled with questions and doubts about our own belonging and like our purpose in the wider world in which we live. So our need for belonging brings up a couple important questions. First, kind of like the Inside Out movie, do we need to erase or hide certain parts of ourselves that we don't like sadness, in order to fully belong? And the other question, if some parts are considered more respectable, like joy, and other parts are considered less respectable, must we condemn, erase, or get rid of our less honorable parts? Well, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he answers these questions with a resounding no. All of our parts matter. Each and every member has a role to play. So a little bit of a background before I read from the letter. This is a letter that Paul wrote to a church gathering of people in Corinth, Greece. So this is a diverse community of mostly, I think, Gentiles who were living under the Roman Empire, and they were both slaves and free. And they longed to belong to this growing messianic Jesus movement. And at the time, the movement was led by, or like the most honored members were these valued and respected Jewish leaders that were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah and the unity of their God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. This is a great big family with many members. But interestingly, to make his point about belonging, Paul does not choose the metaphor of a family. Okay, so in chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, Paul chooses the metaphor of our physical body, what he calls the body of Christ. So it'll be in your sermon notes and in the chat, and I'm going to read portions of this section in First Letter to the Corinthians. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." He says, "In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Now, I love this next part. He says, "If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as God chose." So in this next part, Paul, he shuts down any kind of toxic ideal of individualism or perfectionism, idolizing maybe just one kind of member. He says, "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." And it's true if you think about it with our physical bodies. "And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with the greatest respect, whereas our more respectable members don't need this." So I love this great value Paul places on our weaker members and those we might think of as being less honorable. We're wrong. They are indispensable and clothed with greater honor. He says, "God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another." This is the kind of equality we need. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. I think it's amazing the way he frames this. So in this passage, Paul reveals a fundamental reality and an inspiring truth, that God arranged the human body with many members, some more honorably clothed than others, some weaker and more indispensable, so that we can get along with and care for one another, so we can care equally for one another. Each part contributes to the whole in a meaningful and integrated way. So I wonder if this can apply to our faith communities and or maybe your chosen families. Now, I love many things about my childhood faith community. I think there were good parts. And I care very much about this one. I think you know that. Over the years, I've really learned a lot about, you know, being honest, honest belonging, authentic belonging, and really loving people with an inclusive and merciful love. But I think, to be honest, in many groups that I've belonged over the years, especially I've seen this in churches, it just seems like the more like so-called respectable members, they enjoy the most belonging and the greatest honor. So everyone is kind of supposed to strive to be just like this respectable or ideal member. And the thing is that, you know, once you scratch the surface of who people are, there is no ideal or perfect member. So Ken, and that's why I love the verse, if all were a single member, where would the body be? So it's just a great line. Ken Wilson, our pastor emeritus of Blue Ocean, he coined this phrase that he would use when it was appropriate for some churches who they fully include or honor only their straight or cisgendered members. So Ken would call them, great if you're straight. I thought that was funny. Because I think it's true, you know, they are great for some members, but maybe just not for all. Now, I think this is a very real struggle that humans face when we come together in groups. So Paul challenges our idealization of only one type of member. Like the human body, when one part suffers, we all suffer together. The whole body suffers. And I think this is why therapists and therapy can be so helpful in healing, not only for individual well-being, but for the community at large. Therapy brings together two or more people who are different from one another, face to face, to listen together, speak together, and heal. So many folks at Blue Ocean are therapists, actually. We have a lot of therapists, and I kind of love that. Thank you to you, therapists. Some of our members are in therapy, like me. Thank you to you as well. Now, others of us might be both therapists and in therapy at the same time. This is really random, but does anybody remember those old commercials in the 1980s? They were about hair care products for balding people. Hold on. It was called Hair Club for Men. I think it's hilarious they created this exclusive balding hair club for men only. It's like we're not even talking about golf or politics, it's hair. But in these commercials, the president of Hair Club for Men, he would brush his hand through a thick head of hair, and he would say, I'm not only the hair club president, but I'm also a client. And I feel like that resonated. I feel like our young people are probably like, what is she talking about? But this was true for me in the mental health field. So for many years, I was a care provider, but I am also a receiver of care. So let me get to my point about therapy and well-being. There's a form of therapy that's gaining some attention right now, and it's called internal family systems therapy. So this is IFS. Internal family systems therapy is not about families per se, but it's more about our internal family. Okay, so they're highlighting this internal family of personalities that we might have, like the Inside Out movies. You can see the connection I'm making with Inside Out. It's a therapy that teaches that we have these different parts that are all working together for the good of the whole. All our parts belong to one undamageable core self. That's in the therapy. And as a spiritual person, I would call it the holy spark within every human soul. Sometimes our parts, our different parts, are not actually working so well together, and we suffer for it. So my therapist friend was talking to me about this, and he said that when our different parts become controlling or acting out or even trying to like reject the other parts of ourselves, the core self can kind of regain control and well-being by seeing them and hearing them. We can tame our various parts when they are truly seen, fully heard, and fully known. Each part matters. So I think this applies not only to the many parts within ourselves, but also to one another, what Paul calls the body of Christ. When we see and hear and care for the least of these among us who are suffering, maybe rejected, or even acting out, we become better together. Think of your families, your friends or kids, and all their many parts. We can only be as happy or healthy as our least happy part. There's a book on this called No Bad Parts by Richard Schwartz. I appreciate the name of the book, No Bad Parts. We're coming off the tail end of a sermon series on original blessing, on goodness, the goodness that is within and among us. So if you want to learn more about it, I recommend the book. A close friend of mine actually told me that she's in IFS couples therapy, and that this helped her gain more compassion and empathy, not only for her own parts, but also for the many parts of their partner. Okay, so we're coming to the end. I think whether we're talking about kid movies, effective therapy practices, or Paul's letter to the Corinthians, you can probably see that they all share one common theme. We are the many in the one. So if you've been listening and want to take away one idea for the following week, let it be this: when one member suffers, we all suffer with it together. And when one is honored, we are all honored and rejoice together with it. This deep wisdom is also true of our God, our parent in heaven, who suffers when we suffer and rejoices when we are honored. Our parent in heaven is only as happy as their least happy child. So let's take care of ourselves and each other without rivalry or dissension, without self-promotion or exclusive individualism, but rather as if we belong to one body. We belong just as we are, just as we are made. This sacred body is vitalized by a powerful and inseparable love. Not even death can touch this love. Strong as death is love. Each and every one of us and our many parts are joined together by one Holy Spirit breathing in each and every one of our lungs. We are all different and yet equally cared for, loved, and valued under the one living God who is over all, in all, and through all. We are the many who belong to the one. Now, I might like to call this sacred body humankind. The Apostle Paul calls us the body of Christ. All right. So after our sermons, we usually do a time of meditation. And so if you want to get comfortable and settle in, we usually do like silence or breathing. But today we're going to do a body scan. Okay? So go ahead and just settle yourself into your chair. Let's start at your feet. Notice your feet. Maybe wiggle your toes. Imagine Jesus washing your feet with his healing hands. Scan your legs. Maybe stretch them. Then your stomach and your chest. Take a deep breath. Notice the air coming in and out of your lungs. This is the ruach, the breath of God in our lungs. Notice any muscle tightness. Where does your body hold stress? Now move your neck, maybe turn your neck from side to side. Your shoulders. Notice your head. Maybe stretch out your face. Don't worry, no one is looking. Stretch out your face. Maybe now notice what you hear, what you smell, what you can see if your eyes are open, what you can feel. Feel the chair beneath you and the gravity of the earth. Remember that you do not hold the earth on your shoulders, but the earth holds you. Relax into this healing space, remembering that you are the many belonging to the one. You are fully loved. You matter. It says in the Gospel of Luke that even the hairs on your head are numbered. You are fully known and fully loved in God's great love for you. Amen.